do all that we can do and all that's required of us and commanded of us by God to do. And it's teaching of the word on healing and deliverance is necessary for right now. In the present evil world, we need this. We're gonna get into how to use the scriptures and how to practice them so we can receive our healing and our health from God. But we're gonna have to continue over the next two or three lessons until we get folks able, you know, to receive what's already been given to them from God themselves. They're going to have to be able to do this for themselves, because, like I say, we can't depend on the pastors, preachers, teachers, and the people of God, the people that holds office. We can't depend on them for everything. We have to depend on ourselves to go to God. So, that's what we're going to have to do, saints of God. We're going to have to depend on God until we can get the people able to do what's already been given to them by the blood of Jesus. It's a lot, but we have to be taught what has been given to us by God through Jesus, and we have to know how to put it into practice. Until the next time, use your spiritual weapons and keep your faith out on the field until it produces what you called on it to produce. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, you died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Stand and get your Bibles. Turn them open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I just want to lift out verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Reader, will you read for us?
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Six.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Amen. God bless. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, the influences of a mother.
Yeah.
The influence of a mother.
All right, now.
The influence of a mother is so great that history records only parts and pieces of the influence that God has given to mothers to influence the family. It is because of what God has vested in mothers that the family is as blessed as it is. It is this very reason that Paul, after he introduces himself in his salutation, and he commits to reminiscing about the beginning of this family, its faith and its fellowship, and how he was there in the beginning and he knew this family personally. And he shares with young Timothy when he thinks back about where the faith that he has came from. It started with the influence of his grandmother, Lois. Grandmothers play a major role, not only in the lives of children, but in grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. And that influence doesn't stop when she's through with her children. And she has the ability to influence others and others' children because of the wisdom and the wit that God has placed on the inside of the aged woman of God. And so Paul brings up the fact that Lois and Eunice, mother and daughter, were the beginning of the faith line for that family. But you notice they don't say nothing about the father. Now, these women were Jewish, but they were married to Grecians, Greek men. They, at the beginning of the preaching of the gospel and the presenting of Jesus Christ, did not readily, as much as the women did, take hold to the message of faith. So the women received Jesus Christ and the message of Christ and the ministry of Christ, and they wholeheartedly became witnesses for Christ, changing generations by their own convictions and by their own witnessing. And so many times, it's been the women and the mothers who have carried on the mission of Christ in this sinful world. You look at most churches have more women than they have men. It is because, again, that same trend continues to follow to this day, that the women hear with a compassionate and convicted heart to receive the message of Jesus Christ more readily than the men do. And so there is no mention here except in Acts chapter 16, when Luke mentions about the men in the beginning of that revolution of Jesus Christ. But Paul knew the family best, and he's sharing that with young Timothy. Let me just say this. There are three things that Paul infers in the text that mothers do. The first one I told you is influence. Mothers have a great ability to influence those who have come in the way that God has given her birth to and care to rear them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Whether the women have been saved or unsaved, they have an influence over the family that's uncanny. Let me just give you a worldly example. If you go to Matthew chapter 14, I believe it is, verses 1 through 12, the story is told of Herod when he had John the Baptist's head cut off. But do you really know why he had the head of John the Baptist cut off? Well, first, it was because he didn't like his preaching. If y'all read it, you'll know I'm not joking. This is true. But what he told him was, Herod, you're wrong. The wife that you have is not your wife. It's your brother's wife. And so when Herod schemed and divorced his wife and her husband, they hooked up together. Now, Herod had a birthday party. And Herodias, the woman's daughter, danced before Herod. Herod got so excited about her dancing, and he looked at her with an incestuous look, that he told her that he would give her anything up to half of his kingdom, because she pleased him with her dance. Now, my brothers and sisters, that must have been some kind of dance. He's going to give her up to half of the kingdom because she danced? Lord have mercy. So she goes to her mother and she says, Mother, what shall I do? And the mother said, ask him for the head of John the Baptist on a charger or on a platter. And it grieved him to do that, but he got sick and tired of John's righteous preaching, and he wanted to do that to claim that he was heading off some potential riot, because John had followers, and no matter what John said, the followers would do it. And so Herod was trying to act as if he was trying to head off a riot that would be ensuing because of the followers of John. But he knows really because he was convicted by the preaching of John. And so in prison, he had John beheaded. And here comes John head on a charger, and they raise up the top and gives it to the young girl. Now, she never would have asked for John's head if her mama wouldn't have asked her to do it. I'm trying to tell you, the influence of a mother is not just godly, it's ungodly also. That's why mothers have got to be careful what they say to their children, what they do before their children, what they teach their children, how they build them up or how they tear them down, because their influence goes further than one could ever know. I was watching the other night, and I don't watch this very often, but Sister Montgomery had me hogtied watching the last episode of Empire. And while sitting there, I noticed the influence of this mother on the son. This was not Cookie Lyons. I don't know what the other woman was, name was, but it was Lucius' illegitimate son. He was Kingston, I think his name is, or something like that. I know y'all know it better than I know it. I'm trying to get to the point. But when his mother told him that Lucius wasn't no good and that he was lying to him and he was fooling him, et cetera, and that he betrayed him and deceived him, and she was disappointed with him, and she said to him, I should have taken the $200 Lucius offered me to have an abortion when you were a baby. That affected him so badly. She told him he didn't love her. She told him he didn't care for him. She told him that Lucius got her hooked on the crack, etc. The lifestyle she had was because of him. He goes back to meet Lucius, and Lucius' firstborn son, Andre, needs a heart. And because he needs a heart and there's nobody there, he tried to commit suicide. And Kingston comes back and tells him, tell me something about me, your real firstborn son. And he said, I know that you're lonely, I know that you're hurting and all the rest of this. And he goes on, but it doesn't speak to what he's dealing with. But what happened before he got there was so relevant that when he got to Lucius, he pulled out a gun. And Lucius said, if you're gonna be a lion, you better pull that out. If you're gonna use it, if you're gonna pull it out. And Lucius was saying, if you're gonna shoot me and give my heart to my son. And the boy took the gun and put it to his head and killed himself. Now, may I suggest to you, it's not just because of what Lucius said, because Lucius didn't know him but for a few days ago. It was what his mother told him that broke him down and broke him to the point where he could not be fixed. Again, the influence of a mother. I can tell you a story both biblically and secularly about this reality, but I think you get the point. Lois, the grandmother, influenced Eunice, her daughter. And when she influenced Eunice, her daughter, when her daughter had a child who was a son, Eunice influenced him, Timothy. Now listen at this, because it began with the influence, but point number two, it continued with instructions. Instructions, listen, follows influence. See, when you see somebody and you are moved and touched by and desire to be like, etc., instructions must ensue for you to know what to do. And so in every case, from Lois to Eunice to Timothy, that influence went through each one of them because of the power of faith. It was handed down from generation to generation, but that was something that happened with each generation. Because Lois got the faith, Eunice kept the faith, but Timothy was to increase the faith. In other words, every generation, it was to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, but it had to have a beginning. And it began with the grandmother. I shared with our church many occasions, I learned to pray because my grandmother taught me to pray. Many of you who may not know the story, I was in prayer meeting, I was there on the last row, the last person. And in those days and time, they'd start at one row here, and everybody on the row had to pray. And so when one get through praying, the other get down on his knees and pray, and they went all the way through. And I was just joking and playing in church, laughing, talking like children do. And I noticed it had gotten to our row. And it was about five of us young folk, but those young folk had been in church. I was in New Orleans. I didn't know nothing about that. And they had been used to praying publicly. And so they got down, and I noticed on the end, Elaine was on the end, and she got down. And then when she got down and then got back up, the next person got down. And then it got to my Uncle Frank. who was sitting next to me. And I looked on the other side of me, and there wasn't nobody on the other side of me. And when he got down on his knees, I got down on my knees. But he started praying, and I went to straying. I crawled out the church. Ran on to my grandmother's house, who was next door, all out of breath, exasperated by this experience, and said, "Mother, teach me how to pray. They were going to call on me next." And she sat right there and taught me my prayers. It came from my grandmother. That influence impacted my life and started me on a journey that God would be able to minister to me in a greater effect. Mother taught me so many other wonderful things that helped me to excel and to achieve and accomplish great things, but it was from the grandmother to my mother to myself. That influence was that important, and those instructions were that important. And so when you learn that instructions go way deep beyond just the hearing, those words impact lives eternally. That's why you've got to be careful to not just say what you see, to not just speak in the heat of the moment, but to begin to speak what you don't see in your children, to be able to call those things which be not as though they were. They might look like, act like they ain't got no sense of the world, but you don't speak that to them. You let them know how and who they are, and you instruct them on how they should act as your child, your grandchild, as your family member, because words are important and they are impactful. The third thing I want to tell you, that will leave you alone, is it infers inspiration. Inspiration. So you have influence, you have instruction, and you have inspiration. Who better to be inspired by than the ones who love you the most, who love you the best, whose inspiration to you is the best for you? Wanting what God wants for you, desiring that you be what God wants you to be, helping you to mature and grow in the things of God, in the faith that's necessary to take you from earth to glory in the will of God. And he tells young Timothy, I want you to remember that you have a gift. And that gift is on the inside of you because I laid hands on you and brought it to your understanding. Paul didn't give Timothy a gift. He just recognized the gift in young Timothy. And so he knew young Timothy had greatness on the inside of him, because that same greatness on the inside of Timothy was in his mother, Eunice, and in his grandmother, Lois, and it was in the apostle, Paul. And he was able to recognize it. Can I tell you, greatness recognizes greatness? I said greatness recognizes greatness. When Gideon didn't know who he was, family, the poorest family in the poorest city, he was the worst of the family, God called him a mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Gideon wanted to know, who was he talking to?
Yeah.
But God recognized greatness in him because God placed it in him. You see, my brothers and sisters, God, when you operate in faith, will always send someone to help you recognize your purpose and the greatness that God has in you. You may not see it, you may not feel it, you may not know it, but when God begins to use that person to speak, he knows that all he has to do is stir it up because it's already there. The phrase "stir up the gift" is likened unto a cold fire or a fire with coals on it. After the fires, the flames have gone down and the white ashes cover up the coals. And it appears from a glance that the fire is out. They would take a poker and poke the fire through the coals. And they would stir those coals up, and those coals would hit one another and spark. And before you know it, a flame would jump back up again. They didn't even have to put no more new wood on the fire to get a flame. But every now and then, when what's on the inside of you is not stirred up, it'll appear as though it's dormant or it's dead or it's ineffective. But all you got to do is stir up the gift that is within you.
Yes, Lord.
And inspiration comes. Inspiration comes because what God has placed in you is there for you to bless others. Let me just throw this out parenthetically. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is for others through you. God placed the gift in you not so you can use it when you want to and use it however you feel. Your gift is to bless other folk. If you have the gift of praying, that's not for you. That's for other folk that need prayer. You have the gift of encouragement. Yeah, you encourage yourself sometimes, but that gift was not just for you. It was made for others. If you're a great witness for Christ, you've got to open up your mouth and let other folk know who it is you know, who it is that can save and deliver them, and that's a gift. And the preaching ministry was young Timothy's gift. But he got slack on the gift for a minute. And that goes to show you, I don't care who you are, if you don't exercise your gift, it'll go cold on you. It's still there, but you've got to stir it up to cause it to bring back the fervency that is on the inside of you. These women inspired Timothy. I was flipping through the channels one day and ran upon, I don't know if it was BET or one of those video channels, and Will.i.am was sitting out on the beach. Y'all might know, but the young people might know Will.i.am. And I'm just gonna tell you what he said, because y'all sitting up here acting holier than thou anyhow. So young lady passed by with not very much on. And he said, "Hey, tell me where you get that body from. Tell me where you get that body from. Tell me where you get that body from." Now, if you ain't gonna be too holy than thou, can you answer me back what she said? Thank you for being honest. I got it from my mama.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info at greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement.